Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. Happy Cinco de Mayo. The Rockets are done, and the Astros lost 2-3 to the White Sox over the weekend and are in third place. But guess what? It's Cinco de Mayo. Celebrate, everybody. How does one celebrate? I don't know. Maybe you're like me. You go down to Tiken Park with the Astros team shop open so that you could buy an El Tiempo-themed Houston Astros hat that says on the front of it, Houston Astros baseball, pennants and rings. I don't think it needed the pennants and rings underneath it. I don't.
But I think it's supposed to be like the sign for El Tiempo.
Right.
So they had to put something there.
It could have said pennants and Ritas. I think that would have worked a little bit better.
Yeah, or just like 2017 and 2022.
Mm-hmm. That would have worked.
Yeah.
Alas.
Earwax.
Thank you. Albus Dumbledore behind the glass. That is Sean Mapes. You want to jump in, you know how to do it on a fairly interactive show today. If you want to vent about the Rockets, you can. If you are just tuning in, not mad, and I'm not even disappointed. I thought that they showed a lot of grit, scrap, heart to force a Game 7. Unfortunately, they just don't have an offense. They don't have one. They have a lot of players who do not have range. They have a lot of players who have a very difficult time creating their own shot. They have a lot of players who lack touch in the lane. So in a series where your best scorer was Fred VanVleet, reaching a level that I did not know he still had left in him, and Amen Thompson, but not from outside, you just aren't going to win. You're not going to beat a team in Golden State that has all of these guys who can shoot from outside. One, Steph Curry. Two, to a degree, Jimmy Butler. Three, Brandon Pajimski. Four, Buddy Hield. They got guys who can stretch the court. Hell, five, Moses Moody. Six, Draymond when he's open. He's always been able to hit it. He just doesn't take it very often. I like the way this team plays, but who do you trust from outside? Like, who is, after Fred VanVleet, who chucks a lot, who is their best three-point shooter? You'd see games where Dylan Brooks was really good. You'd see games where Jabari Smith Jr. was really good. But, like, consistently, who are you looking at? Maybe if Jabari Smith played a little more minutes in this series, we would have seen a guy actually get into a rhythm and hit more shots. I think, honestly, if you're going to second-guess Ime Udoka for anything in this series, that's probably one of the things I would the most, specifically with some of Jalen Green's struggles. But they just had no punch offensively, and that's why they're home. So I'm not mad. I'm not even disappointed. This was reality, slapping them in the face. Over seven games, we saw that in the playoffs, you can't win in transition all game long. You just can't. And while they still got their moments in transition where they're just running by everybody, guys are going to need to develop shots. And I don't know how much better the entirety of the roster can get as far as their outside shooting. So it does lend itself to the possibility that this offseason, they're going to be aggressive, they're going to shop around, and potentially bring somebody in. whether that's just a veteran who's good at shooting threes that will only cost maybe a draft pick or two, or it's an actual big boy, you know, like one of the best players in basketball. I don't know. I think that the Rockets, though, will be patient as opposed to urgent or panicked. I think that they should trust themselves just like they should have trusted themselves after last year. The Boston Celtics are the example of what you want to do with a young basketball team. There is no reason for impatience. None. These guys are in their early 20s. What's the rush? I know that you want to rush things because you want to finally have a winner, but does a 50-win regular season with a noble playoff bow out against the Golden State Warriors make it move a little bit? It should have. I don't want people walking down the street saying, like, oh, Rockets never can get it done. Like, I don't want that after this series. I think that's an unfair way to describe what just went down.
Yeah, I think the way this series did go down, I think it has, I would guess that internally for the Rockets, it's kind of built in some like, hey, we can run this thing back. Like, it's not the end of the world if they don't make any major move. Like you said, I would just like someone who can come off the bench and add some scoring punch, like just a guy who you go, hey, we know that this isn't going to help our defense. We know he's not going to be a plus player, but if he can get out there and just get hot for 6 minutes and just make the Warriors guard us differently, that would have been useful in this series.
Is that guy in-house, Sean? Is that guy Reed Shepherd, who we laughed at the comparison on Friday? I know that you were not in. It was me and B-Man.
No, Lance, Dell, and I did a very serious show, so okay. We didn't laugh at anything.
Reed Shepherd was compared to by a Rockets executive, but was not. There was no quote attached to it.
Oh, in the Tim McMahon?
In the Tim McMahon piece, he was compared to Steve Nash. Because he didn't play a lot his first year.
Oh yeah?
6'2".
That's why?
Yeah. I know. It was so funny.
Oh, that's why he's Steve Nash, because he didn't play as a rookie.
It was really funny to read it. But is it possible? I mean,
that he's Steve Nash now.
Is it possible that he is the three-point shooter that comes off?
That he's the Aaron Holiday plus on this team?
Damn. Say it like that, then I'm
not excited about it. That's the role I'm talking about, is to be better than Aaron Holiday, but to not, you know, you're not a star acquisition.
That's just fair.
Slotting in that old Lou Will kind of role, that old, you know, these teams or these players that teams had. I mean, Eric Gordon back in the day was kind of that for the really good Rockets team. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that the Rockets should, like, I don't think they should 100% run it back. I also have some questions about Cam Whitmore.
Dude, I think Whitmore's done. There's something, going on behind the scenes that needs to be figured out. But I mean, the fact that they were refusing to play him in garbage time of some of these games.
In game five.
Right.
He didn't play.
Someone actually texted in, what was Cam Whitmore? He's not going to be here next season. I imagine he gets traded for like a second round pick or something.
Yeah. Or maybe he's the, like, you flip him into like a veteran piece, basically the like Steven Adams of guards that you get.
Yeah, that
and
could
you
be
hope
that.
You hope that the that guy, I don't even, again, we're so fresh off the loss, like I don't have names in mind.
We'll put a list together at some point this week, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because we will be moving away from the Rockets for a lot, and that's one of the frustrating things about this past week. Like, I got super into it,
yeah,
like we all do in the playoffs, maybe not so much in the regular season, and now it's done. It's just done. Damn.
Yeah, now
Now I'm not going
to. Well,
be
we had to go. Well, let's just check back in with the Astros, and oh my god.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. I don't want to go back to the Astros. It was great to see Lance McCullers on the mound yesterday.
That was great. That was great.
That's it. You lost two or three of the effing White Sox. Oh, the weather, Paul. The fact that it was a global warming. Shut up. Stop.
Yeah. Don't
stop.
Be down to the White Sox in the sixth inning. How
about
that?
White Sox are god awful. You know. Text in for the 281. There's a way you can get Giannis Antetokounmpo without having to give up Amen Thompson. It would likely have to include, though, taking on Damian Lillard's contract as a negative asset. Ew.
No thanks. No thanks.
I'd rather have Victor Oladipo's
for that reason, I am
out.
Same. Would you give up Van Vliet, Şengün, and picks galore for Giannis and Lillard? No.
No. Lillard won't play next year. And then when he comes back, we'll be coming off an Achilles and like 36 years old. Sorry. No. Not interested.
Not happening. Anyway, you want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call. It's a text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. The Rocket season is over. Also, it is Cinco de Mayo, and Cinco de Mayo is one of my favorite holidays because it is, yes, a holiday to celebrate a Mexican victory, but it has somehow become an American holiday, and I love it. USA! USA! We'll talk a little bit about that on the other side, too. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Rockets didn't beat the Warriors, but they did get their respect. They did get a tip of the hat from the Warriors. It wasn't just Steph Curry. It was Draymond Green, of all people. Come on. That's at least something going forward. Don't be sad. Think about the potential of the future. Tomorrow, I love ya. Tomorrow, you're always a day away. Or a couple of months, potential off-season moves away as well. They do not need to be urgent, the Rockets. They don't, in my opinion. They don't need to panic. Take your time, see what's available to you. And for the young players who did struggle in this series, specifically Alperen Şengün, and Jalen Green, this has got to be a training montage of an offseason. You know? I don't care if it's push it to the limit. Push it to the limit. Limit! Standing on the razor's edge. I'm Jalen Green and I've got to be confident. Confident! You know? Or it's Alperen Şengün also. Perhaps with a little Joe Esposito and Karate Kid. You're the best around! Why are they making another Jackie Chan Karate Kid movie? You're the best around! Although...
nobody's ever going to knock you down.
That's right. At least there's no...
I mean, if someone did knock down Alperen Şengün, hands up looking at the ref.
Oh, God. Sean!
What? That's what he would do. He would put his hands up. He swept the leg, ref!
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that.
Those are the two guys that need montages this offseason. And listen, if the montages are mediocre, you know, then when we get back to this conversation next offseason, we will be demanding that they leave.
What's the one from Rocky IV where he's just like driving in his car at night?
Rocky IV is a montage, Sean.
I know, but the part of the montage where he's just driving around at night, that's such a cool...
It's a good question. It's a cool one.
I don't know who needs that. Maybe just Fred VanVleet, just like, hey, just chill. Think about the past.
It all blends together. But there's no traumatic event for the Rockets to look back at, like Apollo Creed getting murdered by a Russian in a boxing ring.
It was an exhibition. Yeah,
it was an exhibition, and it wasn't even a playoff game. It was just straight murder, like an actual murder. That happened in the United States of America. You know what?
He should be charged.
Yeah, you know who would have arrested him right there? Our current president. We would have played a little war games with the shins for a bit, huh? You know, maybe get a favorable trade in return, seeing as you know we traded a women's basketball player for the Merchant of Death. Whoops. Anyway, what other montages could happen for the Houston Rockets this offseason? 713-780-3776. Also, from the 832, who wins the title first, the Cougs or the Rockets? Oh, that's tough. Here's the thing with the Cougs. Like, no matter how, this was maybe their best team ever. Obviously, Fai Slimajama would have something to say about it.
and they got all the way to the end and they didn't win. Much like with Phi Slamma Jamma, they got all the way to the end and then they lost to NC State, who had no business probably being in the tournament. You know, it's one of those things where the Cougs should have a better chance, but the tournament is just so hard to get through for so many teams. Yeah. So
they'll be a top five team in college basketball the next year and the year after, at least.
I don't see the Rockets winning the title next year. Yeah. I would say that they're probably 2 years away. I think the Cougs have a chance to do it next season because they're already, I think, preseason number one.
And they had a top two recruiting class.
Yeah.
So like,
but Joe Lunardi doesn't have them as his number one overall, number one seed going into the year. Yeah. He has Purdue, who they beat. He has Purdue. What a load
really?
Of crap.
Why?
What? I know, it's bizarre. Probably just Big Ten obsession. Big Ten gets its ass kissed so much. From the 832, are the Rockets not just in the same scenario as the Texans two off seasons ago, just one piece away, score, I know, important, from taking that next step?
Were the Texans one piece away?
They were portrayed as one piece away.
But they added, like,
Stephon Diggs.
Joe Mixon and Daniil Hunter.
Right.
They added a bunch of pieces.
That year, they were a lot further away than we thought. I thought they would get to the AFC Championship game. They had a chance to beat Kansas City, all things considered, despite a very disappointing season offensively. But the offense, I think, was so disappointing this year. I guess what you would ask yourself is, who is more disappointing, the Houston Texans offense this past season or the Houston Rockets offense in this series? And I would say the Texans this past season.
Yeah,
the Rockets,
they couldn't score on anybody.
Right, exactly. And that's saying something, because the Rockets' offense was, you know, it was World War I-esque. You know, they were like going into last night's game. At times, it felt like an army of people that only have swords and spears. This is probably like how the Aztecs came across the Spanish, you know? Hernando Cortez comes in here. They got just clubs, and they're wearing loincloths and stuff. And then here's the Spanish. They have dogs wearing armor, and they've got muskets, and they've got smallpox, too.
Yeah.
Like, the Warriors had all of that. So, yeah. I mean, even with the Warriors not being what they used to be, still, like, that Warriors team versus that Rockets offense, it's a little bit of a mismatch.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Mexican history.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody.
Mexican history.
Yeah.
I'm sure they love that.
You know what? That actually is a good question. I don't know. Like, do you take the side of the Aztecs, who were murdering the hell out of everybody in the area, or do you take the side of the Spanish, who were murdering everybody in the name of Christianity? He said in quotation marks, and he is still pumping the
still
quotation
doing
marks. Still
burn
doing
the boats.
It.
Burn the boats that old Cortez did.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that humans are just tragically flawed, violent, and difficult to understand? It could be.
I don't want to think about that. Let's talk about game seven some
okay
more. Speaking of tragically flawed, the Rockets offense, I also think comparing the Rockets to the Texans a couple years ago, it's easy, or it's not easy, but it's easier in football to have an easy schedule, go 10-6 and make the playoffs. Like, that, it's just like an easier, like, yeah. You don't have to be that. Like, every year there's a team that's like absolute bum team the year before, changes like two things, wins their division. Or in basketball, like, having the come out the Rockets had, like, actually doesn't happen that often.
But to the two seed, yes. Making the playoffs, over half the league makes it.
Yeah.
And now with the play-in tournament.
But yeah.
But I get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying.
They're like 53 wins. They went from 41 to 53 wins. Those are like the hard wins to improve by.
And it's difficult to, before you've done anything in basketball, I think more than any other sport, like, be taken seriously.
Yeah.
I feel like basketball, we definitely look at the majority of the league and say, frauds.
Yeah. And
frauds.
And there's a little bit of just, hey, these guys are 23. Unless they're all going to be.
Yeah, that's fair.
Better than the old school OKC Thunder, chances are they're not going to make the finals.
Right.
Like, that's the only team that's led by several guys in their 20s to ever, like, do anything. And even then, I think Durant was in year, like, 5 or 6 when they made the finals in 2012. So, it is it's hard to have that kind of microwave success in the NFL or in the NBA, where, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, his first year starting, he can push the GOAT to the brink, and then in year two starting, win a Super Bowl. Like, that just doesn't really happen for a guy, no matter how good they are. Like, LeBron didn't do that.
I guess
they made the 07 finals. But yeah, even then, that's more time.
That Eastern Conference was just oof, jail.
Yeah. I mean, the Pistons were a real team, but other than that, there was, like,
I'm looking at the remaining playoff teams right now, and there is a part of me that wonders if the Rockets got literally any of the other matchups in this first round series outside of maybe the Thunder, the Celtics.
Like, would they have won?
Would it have been different? Would they have won? I don't know.
I have a hard time seeing them beat the T-Wolves.
The T-Wolves would be hard because they got Anthony Edwards. But I'm looking at the teams that are left. Okay, T-Wolves I take seriously because Anthony Edwards. Warriors, you have to take seriously. You can't. No, they just took you down. But the Nuggets just fired their coach. The Thunder, okay, they've had a really good regular season. Cavs, frauds. Knicks, frauds. Just biggest frauds. I want to transfer to the Eastern Conference right now. Pacers win game one, and they're shooting like 60%, so that's probably why they won game one, but still. I just do not take the East seriously at all, except for my beloved Boston Celtics, of course. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. From the 210, Rockets choked, losing at home to inferior Warriors, and offense no-shows again, closing them. Inferior is tough. Like, the Rockets' offense being this for large portions of this past season should have had us all aware that that could go down the way that it did. And basically a quarter in, I was like, yeah, this is who they are. This is who they are. But they have to change it this offseason, probably internally, because externally is going to be tough. I am definitely open to the idea of upgrading via a trade or something like that. I just think it's going to be very expensive to get the guys that you want. So, Paul Gallant Show, you want to jump in, you want to vent, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Stay put.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
It's always fun winning in the city and winning in this arena. So Fred had made a comment earlier in the series, said this ain't that team. It's that organization, though. And we like coming to this city and playing in these situations. It's been good to us.
Oh, God, he's such an a-hole. But you'd like him to be your a-hole. A text from the 214. The Rockets allow Golden State to punk us again, and the chump Draymond gets the last laugh. Sickening. Yep, he's had five last laughs. You're basically his fifth stand-up special. He's had five. And he keeps on coming up with new material, but the classics, they always work. And by the classics, I mean, you know, Fred VanVleet fouls him. Oh, no, my limbs are going in every possible direction. Boom! Fred VanVleet taken out. And Draymond actually seemed to feel bad in that spot right there. How does he have so little control over his limbs? He's 37. And how do they so comically fly all over the place like he's an octopus?
Yeah, and then always...
it's tentacular.
And always happen to hit someone in the face.
Yeah.
Or crotch.
Every single time. It's very strange that his body does that. And that I even think it's semi-plausible that this isn't on purpose all the time.
I think it's a reaction where he just kind of like goes, like, it's a little bit of like get off me kind of thing, where it's just like a, but it, like, it is, that is something on purpose. Was like, he a squirmy no baby
growing up?
That.
Right. Yeah, that's what I think. He was a squirmy baby growing up.
Yeah.
You had to put him in the what's the baby
the
Bjorn?
Straitjacket. Oh.
The baby Bjorn, right? Yeah. Not a straitjacket.
No, you know, where they, the swaddling? Where
yeah,
they,
I get what you're saying. It's so strange with him doing that all of the time. You know what's worse, though, and I think a lot of Rockets fans are in agreement on this, even though the Rockets definitely earned the Warriors' respect, it's so annoying to, in addition to hearing Draymond say, yeah, I love winning here, the F you Draymond chants and all that, it's also really funny to hear Draymond pat the Rockets on the head like he did here. Here's Draymond Green. Arch enemy of Houston sports.
Ime, the way he had those guys fighting, I gained a lot of respect for that team throughout this series. One of the tougher series I've played in, personally. But that's a young team to be reckoned with. And I told myself I was going to talk crazy because they have been talking crazy all series and on the internet. But I gained so much respect for those guys. Şengün is an incredible player. The way Fred VanVleet and Steven Adams led those guys, they had no experience, and they led them, took us to the brink. That team's going to be a force to be reckoned with, and I hope they understand it. You know, things can change fast in this league. You're only on the up until you're not, you know. But they got something promising that they can continue to build on. Jabari Smith, incredible. He played like a vet this whole series, getting his spots, knocking big shots down. A lot of respect for those guys.
I mean, it's Draymond Green saying it, so I think there's an element of, wait a second, he's being nice? What's his angle? What's he doing here? But that is somebody who is really hard to impress, and just like for a sports talk show host like myself, you know, it's difficult to impress me. I've seen a lot of championships. You could even argue I've won championships thanks to where my parents procreated me. But I'm hard to please. I'm hard to impress. Draymond is too, and here he is going out of his way to compliment a team that he was getting in shoving matches with and probably doesn't exactly like that much. I think it's really funny that a lot of people think that, oh, yeah, he's just saying that so that the Rockets stay together as currently are. Like, he's this, like, master 7D chess player
yeah.
who has galaxy brain at all times and knows exactly what to do to keep the Rockets at a level where he could still flick them to the side to open up the playoffs. I think that's a bit of a reach. I really do.
Yeah, if they had lost game five and he had been talking like this, if it was a five-game series, they win 4-1, it's like relatively without a sweat. I think I would put some eggs in that basket. But I think the fact that the Rockets did like actually come back in the series, and even though they could not score for the entirety of this game, The game was never completely out of reach until the fourth quarter.
Right.
Until the end, until basically Steph Curry started being able to make shots. Like, mm-hmm. that, it took, what, probably 40 game minutes for this game to actually get out of hand. So I think there is some, I think that it's plausible that he actually was impressed by the Houston Rockets showing. I don't know, and especially a guy who he himself is one of the best defenders of recent vintage. Him seeing a team that plays defense the way that the Rockets play defense, I think there's a chance that he's like, wow, these guys are good.
And I'm curious as to if the Rockets feel like they're good enough. You can't offensively. You can't. There needs to be some sort of change.
There's got to be something.
Right.
You got to do something.
I definitely think the idea of some sort of offensive coordinator is a good one, too. You know, I like Ime Udoka and what he's bringing to the table, but this is a rather young coaching staff that's underneath him. So now he has to, I think, take a look around and see if there's any assistance who Tillman Fertitta's going to have to pay top dollar to, which he did not want to do for Jeff Bizdelic with Mike D'Antoni when the Rockets were, you know, actually a championship-level franchise.
I'm wondering if they splurge on that side of things.
Yeah.
They have to. I think there's nothing wrong with different minds being brought in. I get that you want to keep your core group together, but much like with the Texans, with D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, it's been 2 years. Fresh blood might be nice after 2 years for the Ime Udoka team and for this Rafael Stone Ime Udoka partnership. Some fresh eyes, fresh thoughts might be good.
Yeah, it wouldn't be insane. I mean, I think part of the reason the Celtics are so good now is the fact that they did go from Ime Udoka for a year, and I'm not saying they need to replace Ime Udoka as the head coach, but they go to an offensive-minded head coach
in Missoula
who's able to kind of like also freaking psychopath, so he's able to keep the like toughness that Udoka really worked hard to instill that one season he was the coach. Because in that one season, a group that's older than this group, it was like in February, he was still calling guys out for being soft every other night.
Yeah.
And eventually they take that team to the finals. Something happens to Ime Udoka. He can't coach the Celtics
what
again.
Happened?
Who knows? And they promote Mazzulla, who is a pretty, not like revolutionary offensive head coach, but he's taking the next step of basketball, like where shots are being taken.
Exactly.
And it's a team with the toughness of a Udoka team with the offensive innovation of Joe Mazzulla that you hope that maybe is more similar to another Boston Celtics. Man, Paul, this segment is for you. It's kind of like the Doc Rivers-Thibodeau pairing in Boston in 2008.
Yeah, you have the players coach in Rivers, and then you got the Hardo.
And defensive. And it's... He was the defensive guy,
yes.
But he was the guy coming up with all the game plans, all the things. It was Thibodeau on defense.
He's the coach that, especially with now an established track record on Rivers, no offense to Rivers, but he's probably the guy that got them the furthest. Because obviously you bring in Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, and you already have Paul Pierce. Scoring is not going to be that hard when you have those three.
You just roll the ball out there.
It is really that case for those three, and obviously Garnett. An intensity that he has too. So can the Rockets find that kind of personality? I do think at this moment in time, that is something, that guy with gravitas, they are lacking. Like Fred VanVleet is the glue of this team at this moment in time. He's their leader. I think Thompson could have it theoretically someday, but I think he's still figuring it out. Dylan Brooks, it's a little cartoonish. I do like his mentality, but also I think it's very clear that he's mellowed out a little bit. And that was written about by Kelly Yeko in an article that we talked about on Friday. Anyway, Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. The Rockets season came to a sad, disappointing end last night. You want to vent about it. You want to talk about it. You can. We've also got some garbage time. Stay put.
ESPN 975. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show with Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Also on X, at Gallant Says. At Sean A. Mapes at ESPN 975. The Rocket season's done. And now begins our, I guess, hungry eyes era. The Rockets are competent. The Rockets are relevant. And now we're about to get wandering eyes. This ain't like your traditional relationship, you know? You meet somebody and you hope that it's just going to be amazing from start to finish. No. No, no, no. Now, you've arrived. You're a cool kid. You're a cool kid at school. You're going to stay with the person you started with? No, you're going to start looking around. It's natural. the laws of the jungle. You're going to keep looking higher and higher up the totem pole, and you want to keep climbing. But it's one of the ways to get climbing is to add things. So this is going to be very interesting. I don't think the Rockets need to have any urgency or panic, though. I do think that they should tell themselves that it's okay to walk away. And by tell themselves, I mean Rafael Stone, Ime Udoka. Tell that to the Fertittas. To the Fertittas' credit, they seem a lot more patient than they were a couple of years ago. Understandably so, given the result that they have seen. But there is no need to rush into anything right now. None. It would be fun to go and get Giannis Antetokounmpo. Lesser degree, Kevin Durant. You don't need to go crazy to do it. So I'm just preaching caution. You don't want to be reactionary because your offense looked like a medieval army fighting against SEAL Team 6. You don't want that.
No, no, you definitely don't. You don't want to be the people being like, wait, they have guns?
Exactly. What are Aztecs guns? Against Hernando Cortez and company.
Why are they reloading again?
What?
Yeah, I think that the front office and the ownership, I think that the results have kind of helped them become more patient because, I mean, I remember after last season, like, we were doing the same thing. Just like, I don't know, Donovan Mitchell? Could a Donovan Mitchell spring loose? Could any one of these guys spring loose? And should that be something the Rockets look to go from 41-41 to take that next step to be a surefire playoff team? And they made that next step without making that trade.
They did.
They had enough internal improvement in year two with Ime Udoka and year two for most of the guys that are on this team being on this team. I mean, they did bring back most of the group. If anything, they only added kind of pieces on the perimeter. And I guess Adams got healthy, and that's it. So I think that they've had their patience be rewarded, so it would make sense if they were patient again. But the thing is, they are in a good position to where if they want to throw some chips around, they can do that as well.
Take a look at the Boston Celtics. And Ime Udoka was there, and honestly, that's probably going to help them out a little bit. Patience can work.
They need their Derek White, the Rockets.
Mm.
I think that's my takeaway. They need a Derek White type of...
I don't know. I mean, they're still looking for the first Jason Tatum and or Jaylen Brown, which Amen Thompson, I think, is close to becoming. But after that, can you find that next piece that's up there? And I don't know that Alperen Şengün will ever be there. And I'm already out on Jalen Green ever being there, even if I'm not as mad at him as others are about this series. The Derek White guy would be great, but is Derek White the guy I'm looking at and saying, like, yeah, this is why the Celtics are so good? Like, they got a lot of guys who can shoot. You know, like, Peyton Pritchard, sixth man of the year, you know?
Yeah,
like, he's basically the new Derek White.
But they improved off of the Marcus Smart piece by getting Derek White. That's what I was talking about.
Fair, okay.
It's like, they need the, like, I mean, if you could just go, like, take this guy out, drag in better version of that guy. That's more of what it is. It's like, hey, could they improve off of, I mean, in the starting lineup, it's Jalen Green or maybe Dylan Brooks.
Okay.
Of like, can they get the next, you know, next version of that guy?
Time for a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Well, I don't know why there are so many teams in sports that have done nothing and believe that their past doesn't matter. But I think this is a very bold strategy before Celtics-Knicks game one tonight to hear this from Josh Hart leading into their series. Said Josh Hart about the Celtics sweeping the Knicks this year. Didn't they sweep them last year, too? Didn't the Cavs sweep the Knicks, too? It's the regular season. It means nothing. There's bits and pieces you can take from it, but at the end of the day, the series is nothing. Okay, sure. But he went further when asked if there's freedom in being the underdog against the Celtics. We don't really involve ourselves with what other people think. Same people will praise us, then kill us later. If we're counted out already, we should play with a great level of freedom. That's about it. We don't really care too much what the outside world said. We're focused on how we feel internally and going about it that way. Those comments right there, I'm talking about going in with confidence, fine. But I don't know. I think you got to at the very least acknowledge the fact that it has been rather one-sided. Maybe this is me, the Celtics fan, being a little bit insulted that he's not recognizing the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it was 4-0. It was 4-0 very similar ways. 4-0 all blowouts or pretty close to blowouts. There might have been one close one.
Right. I think there was one, and it was the last one, I think.
Yeah.
And the Celtics still came back and won.
And it's not just the Celtics. It's like you said, it's the Cavs, it's the Thunder, it's the Rockets. Like they I think the Rockets were their one win. Again, they had one win against the top two seeds in both conferences, and one was against the Rockets at home with no Fred VanVleet. They won by like three. So the Knicks certainly seem very fraudulent. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they are fraudulent because I don't know if people actually buy into them enough for them to be frauds. But this is a team that struggled with Detroit.
Yes.
And now they have to play the Boston Celtics, who are way better.
Boston has won 8 of 9 total.
Okay. 8 of the last 9?
Yes.
So that's 2 seasons worth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if it was 9 in a row. It's like, no, it's 8 of 9. It's a little different. Anyway, also in garbage time, the Pirates fan who fell out of the bleachers on top of a 21-foot-high wall at PNC Park. He is awake. He is awake. Which means we can joke about it. Right? I truly thought, and again, I went on Reddit, found that there was someone sitting behind him. The guy was apparently annihilated. But I really thought it might be an act of protest. Because I think it happened as the Pirates had given up a home run.
Yeah, and it looked like he just got up and immediately toppled over.
Yes.
Which would help either theory, honestly.
Yeah. So he's 20 years old. There's a GoFundMe for him. His name's Kevin Markwood. And, he is awake. The club senior vice president of communication said the investigation concluded he did not buy any alcohol. Well, yeah, he's 20. But he did consume 2 beers over the course of the game. The Pirates are about to get sued. I think they are.
They're going to lose their license to sell alcohol.
Dude, the club senior vice president of communications is saying, like, oh, he didn't buy any? Sure,
yeah.
Dan. I'm skeptical about that. Anyway, he is awake, so that's good to see. A woman on a Southwest Airlines flight, get this, from Philadelphia to Chicago. Oh, boy, that's two places that are interesting. She decided to remove her clothes and defecate on her seat during the flight. Out of caution, the aircraft was immediately taken out of service for deep cleaning. The airline has since apologized to passengers for the disturbing incident and the resulting delays. Speaking of suing, could you sue Southwest Airlines for someone on your flight stripping naked and standing up on their seat in the middle of the flight and dropping a deuce? Could you sue for that? Like for damages, for distress?
I mean, it does seem distressing.
Pretty distressing. And one last note, South Korean scientists have invented a liquid metal robot. We're screwed.
Why? Why would you do that?
Great question. I don't know.
Because obviously you've seen Terminator 2. That's why you're doing
it. That's why they did it. Researchers at Seoul University have created a liquid particle composite called a particle armored liquid robot can deform, engulf, and merge without losing its structural integrity, enabling it to perform functions that are difficult for rigid robots. Oh my god. Yep, that's bad. Anyway, on that note, may as well have yourself the best Cinco de Mayo you can, because robos are coming. Sean Mapes, big thanks to him. Big thanks to everyone who listened today, our texters, our callers, our YouTubers and Twitchers on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, and you, the people. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful rest of your Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
You're listening. listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.